go your way.
All right. I would. To quote Rabbi, to quote Dr. Lem, I thank Rabbi Turesky for his very kind exaggerations. It is very exciting to be here, to look around the room. Baruch Hashem, a variety of, a wide array of growing B'nai Torah, a wide array of faces that are familiar from various contexts, from both sides of the Hudson, from Summers and Beit Meir. And Baruch Hashem, many guys who I look forward to getting to know over, if not tonight, then over the course of several hours here on Tuesday. If not, then maybe we'll have chances to overlap and talk and learning in life in the future. So you guys have the schus. You guys have the schus to learn Maseches Bava Kamma. And one of the lesser appreciated aspects of Maseches Bava Kamma is Maseches Bava Kamma is one of those Masechtas whose agadata give you the chance to take a peek into the world of Maharal. Because not every Masechta has its agada represented in Maharal's Chidush Agadot, but Bava Kamma is one of those Masechtas. The first parak of Bava Kamma has a very famous start. First parak of Bava Kamma also is one of those program that ends back where it begins. First parak opened with trying to make the connections in Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebapeh, and try to make sense of how the specific examples that the Chumash offers us in Mishpatim and elsewhere, particular episodes of injury and damage, are really larger categories, and how do you generalize and how do you abstract, and that's Arbav and Zizikin and the sugyas that follow, relating real-life cases into categories that flow from Chumash. And there was a lot of shakvatari in terms of working out the psukim and how you know what Vishilach means, what Uvir means, and so on and so forth. And is I'm sure you probably spent a day or two perhaps discussing important Brisker Rav, a day or two, a week or two. Or maybe that Brisker Rav sort of moved you through the opening dapim of the first parak. I'm hoping that you learned the first parak. If you're all learning Maruba, then you have no idea what I'm talking about. Tell me at least someone's learning the first parak? Okay, good. The parak ends fascinatingly with agadata. That's not so surprising. Fascinatingly, though, the parak ends with an agada that comes back to one of the psukim that had been the pivot psukim in the technicalities at the beginning of the parak of darshin, like here, like there, define here and there. The Gemara comes back to it, ends the parak. Right, let's take a look from an agadic perspective at Mishalchei Regel Hashor V'Chamor, the very last agada on Daf Yizayin Amud Aleph. And it relates overtly in one way to Psukim in Parshas Vayechi, and maybe we can make it practical by looking at another Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. The Gemara says, at the very end, Yudzayin Amud Aleph, Maseches Bava Kamma, Rabbi Yochanan quotes Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, May dechsiv ashreichem zorei al... You hear Shem Bayachai, you hear ashreichem. You might be thinking of a different again. No, we'll get to that in a couple months, Mitzvah. But for now, ashreichem zorei al kol moyim. Mishalchei regal ashar v'chamar. You fortunate ones who plant on all water, who send out regal shar v'chamar. So earlier in the parak, it was Mishalchei and Regal, that's in the Mashiach, means Regal, and the back and forth, and Dav Beis, Dav Gimel, and so forth. Now the Gemara says, let's zoom out a little bit, and what does Pasuk mean as a whole? Not just those two words, Shiluach and Regal, there are a lot of pieces to this Pasuk. They seem at first very disparate and disconnected. Lucky are those who plant on all water, who send out the feed of the cows and the donkeys, or what on earth? What does it mean? I mean, if you're a farmer, water, planting, cows and donkeys are all pretty important. But even as a farmer, it's hard to know how they fit together like this. And outside of farming context, what is this recipe supposed to mean? So the Gemara says that to appreciate this pasuk in Yeshayahu, you have to understand what Zorei means, what Mayim means, what Shor means, and what Chamor means. And the Gemara develops that Zoriah is a reference to Tzedakah, Chesed. Mayim is a reference to Torah, Ein Mayim El Torah. And if one manages to combine those two, Kol Osek, the Torah Uve Gemilas Chasadim, if you're Zorei Al Kol Mayim, good for you, Ashreichem, you're going to get Regel Shar V'Chamar. What's Regel Shar V'Chamar? So that's a reference in Parshas Vayechi to Yosef and Yisachar. Yosef is compared to a shar, and Yosef is compared to a shar both in this week's parsha and then again in Vizos Habracha, and Yisachar is compared to this week's parsha to a chamar. Yisachar chamar garim. So you'll be zocha both. The Gemara seems to say, then Maral reads the psukim, you'll be zocha, as he Maral puts to be misaleh, to rise, to be, to come to a higher level of human functioning, to come to a more refined place in terms of Birkas Yosef, in the dimension of Birkas Yosef, and the dimension of Birkas Yisachar. The dimension of Birkas Yosef, the Gemara has different versions, but Maral says what essentially what the Gemara is driving at is Yosef represents a more ideal way of dealing with and handling other people. And Yisachar speaks to Bina. Yisachar speaks to insight. Now, if you would have just looked at that per se, so you say, oh, okay, I get it. So that means if you're Osek in Torah, you'll get Bina. We associate Yisachar with Torah. Okay, you're Osek in Torah, you get Bina. You're Osek in Chesed, so you'll get the enhanced approach to other people that Yosef apparently symbolizes. Maral points out that that's not what the Gemara said. Maral stresses that what the Gemara is saying is not A leads to X and B leads to Y, that Torah leads to Bina and Chesed leads to a different way of dealing with people. It's that A plus B will give you X plus Y. Zafka Torah and Gmiz Chasam together. It's our Shreichem Zorei Al Kol Mayim. If you figure out how to combine this, the Chesed and the Torah, then you get put all the ingredients of the recipe together, then you'll get the two desired products. Any one ingredient alone isn't getting you anywhere. And that's an important point to think about. It speaks to, from a Farshas Vayechi standpoint, there's a beautiful Maracha that Rabbi Kamenetsky has. It's worth seeing inside. I don't think I would do it justice. It's worth spending the time to see inside, because Yaakov and Emes Yaakov works through a number of the psukim in and around Birkas Yaakov, and develops that if you look through the flow, the give and take of the psukim, Yaakov Avinu is seeking to balance the individual identity of each shevet, individual strengths of each shevet, together with the fact that they will only work, any one shevet will only work coherently and ideally when they're not only together as a team, but bound together largely by what brings them together as Ovdei Hashem. He works a very beautiful treatment of the psukim. Number one, the Gemara is capturing that Yisachar and Yosef are going to come together, the Bina and the handling of the people are come together, and more than that is that in one's Avos Hashem, so it's important to develop as a balanced person. Rabbi Shechter sometimes quotes, I believe it's from Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Drasha, so I don't remember for sure. And when you look at the Parsha of Mumin, later in Chumash Vayikra, so most of the movement in a behema are something is off. A particular organ isn't functioning right. A particular organ is malformed. Oh, that animal is a balmum. One of them, though, is one in which no organ is malformed. The sarua is an animal where one arm is longer than the other. One leg is longer than the other. One eye is larger than the other. So what's interesting about that is neither arm in a vacuum is malformed, and if they're both a little longer, or both a little shorter, both a little large, both a little smaller, be fine. So there's no one piece that's off, but the whole picture is imbalanced. And that itself is a mum. And that's a din, but that's a din that, in terms of the philosophy of the halacha, that's a din that can convey, in addition to being a din in Yisurim Mizbeach, it's also a din that conveys a larger message in terms of growth as our own Avos Hashem. That individual pieces need to be healthy, and the big picture needs to be well balanced. And that's true within the range of one's learning. One needs to grow in Halacha, one needs to grow in Agada, one needs to grow in Tar Shabbat Savin, Tar Shabbat, and so on and so forth, in Lumdus, in Parshanut, to develop Nashim Mezikin, and knowing something about Zerom Kachim and Taurus also. And I didn't even mention Moed, because Dara Pasha Yibisha, holding in Moed. within the world of learning to overtime. It's not necessarily something that's going to happen tomorrow, but the long-term, the 5-10-year plan has to be that I'm going to grow as a Talmud Chacham across the board. And beyond learning, part of what this Gemara is capturing, Maral says, the key, what this Gemara is capturing, is that the growth that we expect from learning and the growth you expect from chesed, the growth as a person, those will come when there's a balanced recipe of both. It's the involvement, Zorei Al Kol Mayim, it's the involvement in Torah and chesed together that will develop both the bina and the dealing with others. There's a story that I think I may have shared with some of you, I hope it bears repeating, that I think captures this very, very elegantly. Many years ago, I went with Talmidim, I think it was Ben Kessel, also during Seder Mitzvah, it was right before Rosh Hashanah. Took them on a field trip to visit one of the elder Magid Shir in NYU. We had a chance to hear what I think for a number of us was a transformative story from Rabbi Fulda. He told about, he had been a Rebbe in Yeshiva for decades. As a child, he was growing up in pre-war Germany in a small town. And said that the town he was growing up in, a mix of Jews and non-Jews, all the Jews were Shomrei Shabbos. And there was a large department store in town that was owned by a member of the Jewish community, and the department store was closed on Shabbos. The store owner, the proprietor, reached retirement age and sold the store to a Jew from a neighboring big city, very refined person, not a Shomer Shabbos. The fellow comes to town, he's going to run this business, and Rabban said local Rabban wanted to meet with a new proprietor. He sat down with them, and he said, "Rabbis, I'm sensitive to the fact that they're the culture of the town, and the fact that the Jewish community is Shomer Shabbos, and out of sensitivity to that, I plan to keep the front doors of the store closed on Shabbos. Out of respect to the local Jewish community, the side doors will be open, so non-Jews who want to come shop can come shop, but out of sensitivity, as a show of respect, the front doors will be closed. It'll be obviously open on Shabbos." So Rabbanim said, "Thank you very much. We appreciate the gesture. It's not quite what we had in mind. We really had in mind maintaining the Shmir Shabbos in town, maintain the Jewish Shmir Shabbos in town." They had a pleasant conversation that didn't really go anywhere. It was a conversation afterwards how to address this. Word goes out, this is a time and place in which there were multiple shuls in town, but there was one Rav. There were many Rav, but many Talmid Chacham in town. There's one Talmid Chacham who was the rabbi of the town, he was a Rav for all the shuls. So word goes out throughout all the shuls, they should come to one particular shul, the main shul, before Enkel Okeinu, that Shabbos morning, and the Shtat Rav would be speaking to everyone. They all gather, and the Rav gets up, and he says, "You know that the department store is now open on Shabbos. The new proprietor is Jewish, not a Shomer Shabbos. And here's how we are going to respond as a town. I'd like each of you, on your way home from shul, to make a detour, stop in the store, go over to the proprietor, wish him a friendly good Shabbos, and go home." Rabbi Fulda said he remembers as a child he remembers this period as the time they were all yakas. This was the period of time in which they all started their suda 20-25 minutes late, because every Shabbos morning, because all the Shomrei Shabbos in town, all the Jews in town were lining up. There's this long, ironic, a long line of Shomrei Shabbos Jews was snaking out of the department store. They're all coming to wish a friendly, pleasant good Shabbos to the proprietor. No. 6 weeks later, announcement again goes out to all the shuls. Everyone should again gather in the central shul before Enkel Okeinu. And the Shtat Rav gets up again, and he says, "I'm glad to tell you all that it's no longer necessary to make a stop in the department store on the way home. And there's someone here who's going to explain why." And the proprietor gets up, he was there, and he said he was so overwhelmed by the way the community treated him with such grace that he decided, I don't know if he decided personally to become a Shomer Shabbos, but he certainly decided that, he may have said it as well, so he decided that from now on the store would be closed. Legamri, on Shabbos. So it's a remarkable story in and of itself. And if you think about it, you recognize something profound, which is the response of the Rabbanim and of the town that followed the leadership of the Rabbanim was to maintain incredibly, exquisitely high standards, both in Beit Am L'Chaveiro and in Beit Am L'Makom. They didn't ignore their standards of Shmir Shabbos, and they didn't ignore their standards of how you treat other people. And had they been less careful about either side, they would not have gotten nearly as good results as they got by being careful about both. If they just would have let the Shmir Shabbos slide, they would have been pleasant, but let the Shmir Shabbos slide. Obviously, nothing would have changed in terms of the store. If they would have been mocking the Shmir Shabbos without sensitivity, they also, there would have been a lot of friction and no movement. But by insisting on exquisitely high standards on both sides, Torah Gemilas Chasadim, in terms of Isser V'Heter and Dine Mamanus, if you will, or the terminology we usually use, Beram La'amakom, Beram La'chadero, it was that combination, only that combination, that got them the results that they actually wanted. That, I think, is Maral seems to say, that's part of what the Gemara is seeking to capture. It's Ashreichem Zorei Al Kol Mayim. It's Dafka, if you seek to grow tremendously, to grow ambitiously in Torah and Chesed together, that's a necessary recipe to get to either place. It's only the conjunction of both that's going to get you to where you're looking to get. And maybe let's close in terms of the Lamasa. I think that's already sets an image, Lamasa, of where one wants, where one's seeking to get. And every Jew needs to make a cheshbon in terms of how much am I investing in each of those two aspects of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me, and where do I need to increase ambition. I would leave you maybe with two additional specific ha'aras. One about the Torah, and one about the chesed. That brings us back to Vayechi from a different angle. In terms of the Torah, it's worth noticing, those who have learned Masachas Tanis will probably be particularly sensitive to this, it's in this context in particular, and in the context of thinking about what a healthy, balanced, rich type of vision of ambition of Avos Hashem looks like, that the way that the Yishayahu chooses to describe Torah is Mayim. If you think back to Masachas Tanis, you understand that the reason why Torah is described as water is twofold. On one level, the Torah is described as water. You think about the story of Pappas from Rebbe Akiva, the end of Masachas Brachas. A fish out of water, a Jew without Torah is like a fish out of water. Water is something we need to survive spiritually. We will spiritually dehydrate if we're deprived of learning and living Torah. The Gemara says, but there's more. Is that water always finds its level. If I have a container with water, water will seek to sink because it's a fluid. Gravity will pull it down to the lowest point possible. And that captures the fact that Anava, the psychological and spiritual correspondent to that physical reality, is that Anava is an absolutely necessary prerequisite for Hatzlacha and learning. I can process a lot of Dapim while I'm a Bal Gaiva, but I'm not going to become a Talmud Chacham. That learning is not going to get inside of me unless I open myself up with Anava. And it's sometimes something that sometimes guys lose track of, and it's something to look forward in years to come to seek to attach yourself to people who are providing that combination. To have your eyes open, to seek to be, to draw your learning and your growth in learning from people who are models of Torah and Anava, because Torah without Anava is not a sustainable situation. And that's what's captured by calling Torah Mayim. That Torah finds its level. Torah will settle if you have water at the top of a mountain, that's an unstable situation. You have water in the valley, that's a stable equilibrium. Do you want to have a stable equilibrium of Torah? You want to have a stable situation where your learning is consistent and can grow in a natural way. It needs to be with another. It needs to be where I'm midos-wise comfortable with who I am instead of pushing myself up. And that's something that going forward, guys sometimes keep track of and guys sometimes lose track of. And sometimes a person who pushes himself forward and is very self-promoting can be very attractive to some. But the Gemara reminds us, if you're looking for stable, substantive Torah, you're going to find that in Anava, your Anava and his Anava, and attaching yourself to people who model Anava is in many ways one of the most potent ways to build it within yourself. And then a word about the second aspect. A word about Chesed, another reference to Chesed in the Brachas of Yaakov Avinu and Parshas Vayechi. Chachlili einayim yayin uleven shinayim mechalav. Ksuto shel Mikra, it's a bracha about the richness, the fertility of that part of Eretz Yisrael. There's so much wine that the eyes are red. Chachlili einayim yayin. Eyes have gotten red from all the wine that's so readily available because the grapes grow in such fertile, well in such fertile land. Uleven shinayim mechalav. Bipshuto, that's the teeth are white from all of the abundant milk that's available. May, the mem, meaning from, as in the milk generates. The milk generates whiteness of teeth. But the Gemara understands an additional level of interpretation beyond the pshuto is to translate the word mem not as from, but as them. Leven shinayim mechalav means that sometimes the whites of one's teeth can be more important, more valuable than milk. Gemara says, a fellow's in need, you give him a cup of milk, you give him fluid, you give him hydration, you give him nutrition, you give him calories, give him calcium. Give a fellow who's down on his luck, who doesn't know where the next meal is from, you give him a cup of milk, that's great. But sometimes it could be even greater to give him the whites of your teeth. We sometimes don't appreciate the value of giving people emotional oxygen. And people have physical needs, and people around you have emotional needs. And sometimes God comes over to, hypothetically speaking, no one of course in this room would ever do this, but hypothetically speaking, maybe you have a friend who knows a guy, or, someone comes over and says, I'm really having a hard day, stuff's not working out, parents, friends, money, health, whatever, fill in the blank, our natural reaction, your friend's natural reaction, maybe it'll be okay, though it's all going to be good. That sounds like a common reaction. It'll be good. I have a parent, a grandparent, a sibling whose health is unsure. It'll be okay. A parent's job is unstable. That's not clear. It just hit the Wall Street Journal that, my father's company is going to be laying off X thousands of workers. I'm not sure where that leaves me. It'll be okay. Very natural reaction. Let's be honest. We can hear ourselves saying that, right? And it seems like something like a good guy would say. Turn it around now and imagine you're not hearing someone tell you about his tzaras and naturally responding that way. Imagine that you're on the receiving end. And someone says, don't worry, it'll be okay. That really very helpful? When you're receiving it, it doesn't feel helpful at all. I just told you that I'm not sure whether my mother, father, stepmother, stepfather, sister, brother, whatever is going to have a job. Are you the CEO of the company? You know it's going to be okay? Is this insider information? I should invest? What does that mean? I told you that I have an uncle who went for a round of tests with oncologists and it's not clear where things are going. So you told me it's going to be okay. You're a Navi? You know it's going to be okay? No. So again, it comes from a good place. We want the guy to feel good, so we say it'll be okay. But honestly, it's really unhelpful. Kavanascha ritzuya, ava masecha im ritzuya. You mean well, it's nice, but as many of you may have heard from Rabbi Reich, the Aruch Chaim, in the end of Chumash Reishis, who stresses that in Be'an al-Chaver, even more than Be'an al-Makom, where things land is incredibly important. It's nice that you meant well. Results. What's usually more helpful is the sort of thing that we're less trained to do, so we would do well to train ourselves to do, which is to actually listen and hear what the person is saying. Because yes, we wanna be nice guys, so we say it'll all be okay. And some level we think like saying to all the kids is the right thing to do. We also, to be honest, maybe aren't sure what to say, and maybe would rather not engage in this conversation. Say, no, it'll be okay. If you actually care about the guy, and you think, remember the Gemara had said, you want to combine your thinking and your chesed, what would really be helpful is to give him some time and some focus. What would really be helpful is to show him shalom levin shinayim, and to say, like, how can I tell him it'll be okay? Oh, I have no idea. The one thing I could say is, wow, that really sounds rough. To hear what the person is feeling. Usually when someone comes over to you, you're often not, sometimes you're in a position to actually help. And if you're the oncologist, you don't just want to say, wow, that sounds really rough. You also want to treat the problem. But if you're not the oncologist, so you might not have much to say or do for the underlying problem, but you can notice that there are two issues here. There's the underlying, his uncle is maybe in a serious medical situation, and the fellow in front of you is really has an emotional reality. If he's a mess, he's a mix of confusion and fear and all sorts of stuff. So you can't do anything for the uncle's medical condition, but you can speak to the emotional situation of the guy in front of you. And what can you do? Telling him it'll all be okay is well-intentioned. Hearing him and trying to hear a little bit of how he's feeling and sharing that and giving him the time and space to reflect that to him, giving him the time and space maybe even to share more of how he's feeling, is something that most guys aren't naturally conditioned to do. And that's not Oz Rachmana Patre. If most guys aren't naturally conditioned to it, that means part of your growth as an Oved Hashem is to train yourself to do that which is more helpful. Say, wow, I can't imagine what that feels like. That must be so scary. And just reflect how he's feeling and just stop and listen. Just show him. You'll notice the Gemara didn't say it's what you're saying. Levin Shinayim. You're smiling. You're there. You're present. You set the stage for him to talk. And you listen. And that is an incredible kinyan in all of your human relationships going forward. And there's no better time to start working on that than the present. And that's a big piece, and that's something, you know, there are certain types of chesed that you need to be in a particular context to do. To do the chesed of being an oncologist, you need to be in a very particular context. To do the chesed of giving that kos shel chalav, so you need to be in direct contact with people who could use the kos shel chalav. But the levin shinayim, that type of chesed can happen anywhere. So you should, in your life, look for opportunities to get out there and be doing hands-on, being taking care of people's physical needs as well. Sometimes there are opportunities in yeshiva, sometimes that waits until a bein hazmanim, or at least a bein hasfarim, for an opportunity to give in a physical way. But to give in an emotional way, which again, one of the great lessons of Parshas Vayechi is that the emotional giving is often even more potent than the physical giving, and the emotional giving also is always available. It can happen anywhere, and all you need are one mouth and two ears. Do a little bit of talking, do a lot of listening. And that is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly potent. And seeking the learning and the anava, seeking the kol shel chalav, and even more so the levin shinayim, these are things that can happen right here and right now. And a Jew invests in being zorei al kalmayim. A Jew invests in not just learning Torah and doing chesed, but being osek, throwing yourself in to serious, ambitious growth in Torah Gemilas Chasadim, which Taki B'Zochem to these brachas, to the brach of Yosef, the brach of Yisachar, and to see ourselves grow. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless us with Bina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless us with wisdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless us with ever greater skills in nuance in dealing with other people, and we can take those gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and further invest them and an ongoing asek b'targum is chasadim. I look forward to watching you guys grow in the future. I look forward, hopefully, to have a chance to. I want to thank Rabbi Shivat Shalvin in general, and Rabbi Tresky in particular, both for that incredibly exaggerated introduction, and far more importantly, for the opportunity to share some time with all you guys. Shel b'zoch to grow incredibly in this man, and for mitzvah many healthy decades to come. Shkoyach. For the guys who want to sit in shmooze.